I'm going to say Emma said some things about nature of working, but because I've got it written here and my talk's very short, I'm going to say it again. So my talk might be a little short. But what I will say is I'd just like to correct Emma. I'm not going to be talking about sport. Bullfighting is not in any way, shape or form or Spaniards for sport. But there'll be time for questions. So when Emma asked me to contribute to this, the first thing I did think about was the term working and how that might relate to my research area. Because this research doesn't have much to do with labouring with animals. And I did the normal academic thing and went and looked at the shorter Oxford English Dictionary. You know, 3 pages and 10 columns related to working, work and working with. So in English, it's rather expansive. But I'm going to be really intrigued to see what notions of work actually come out of all of these papers. So I've been thinking about notions of working with animals and what animal labour itself might consist of. And we also have notions of labouring for whom. Do animals have to work for themselves for subsistence and create shelter? Or is work only something that humans can do, labouring at task? And then, as Emma said, we've got working with, working in junction with, working alongside to achieve something, where the effort and emphasis might be on the human effort involved. And I think, in terms of the way Emma presented some ideas, the closest my research is the notion of moulding an animal body. And I said in the abstract, it's a bit like the bull breeder is a bit like the potter with clay. It's the raw material. And that's what I'll develop. So one of my areas of interest in humans working with animals in order to bring about performance. So I thought, first of all, of offering some comments on matadors working with bulls. But something has come up very recently in my research, and I decided to step back from that and look at something to do with the production of bulls. And I'm keeping the term production, using the term production to be as neutral as I can at the moment. I want to nuance it through Spanish terms later. So why fighting bulls? Well, I've written about the bullfight before, and I still never understand the bullfight. But I've come back to working on it because I formed a writing partnership, research partnership, with Esteban Ruiz Ballesteros, who's not a golfer, but a social anthropologist at one of the universities in Seville. And our joint aim is to explore specific aspects of human-animal relations in the event, in bullfight event, as it occurs in Spain now, and especially how it's experienced, thought about and discussed from within the bullfight world. So in a sense, we're trying to move away from interpretation, which is an obvious anthropological perspective, to a more phenomenological account of what occurs in the event. And we are directing this, we're not sure if this is right, but we're particularly directing this at Spanish readers. So we are doing some things in English, but the book we're preparing is specifically designed so that we can engage Spanish people who are involved in this. What's our research material? Well, the normal boring old ethnographic stuff, participant observation. But something's occurred, interestingly, because of the political situation of the bullfight in Spain. It's been banned in Catalonia, and there've been all sorts of responses to it. There is a lot of new material in Spain, in magazines, in newspapers, in books, discussing the nature of the bullfight. And what we're particularly interested in is how bull breeders, who in my time when I was doing original research, never did any of this. They just bred bulls and they didn't consider really what they were doing. They talked amongst themselves. There are now huge numbers of symposia of bull breeders. They come together, they meet with veterinary people, etc., etc. And the ensuing texts show that those involved are very concerned about various hows of the bullfight as an event. They're not particularly concerned about the why of the bullfight. Why does it still exist? What does it mean? How can it be interpreted? So in this new project, our interest is to follow their concerns, to understand how the bullfight is in modern Spain, how its experience in modern Spain responded to, etc., etc., rather than interpreted. And I've done this myself. You know, the obvious sorts of things with the bullfight is analysis of ritual, symbolism, sacrifice, gender, and of course animal rights, etc. So we're trying to move away from that. Let me start with a picture. Okay. This came out recently, and Esteban and I spent a week trying to work out how to translate this and work out what the concerns are. Very quickly, this is a photograph in the newspaper El País, which is significant, is the equivalent of The Guardian. That's important. And it's an article about a performance of Enrique Ponce, very famous matador in Madrid, a few weeks ago, in which he included music and all sorts of things in the performance. What we have a picture of here is the public has asked the president to spare the life of the bull, because in their terms it was so good and the performance was so good. What would normally happen in a case like this is the matador would take the banderilla, the coloured stick, and would place it in the point where he put his sword, because the bull must die symbolically. It is a sacrifice. Enrique's in control so much that he puts his hand on the spot where he would kill the bull. So he's risking his life completely unnecessarily. I, as a great aficionado of Enrique, thought this was fantastic. I'll translate you the title. It's very difficult to translate it. But basically, that title says, is there emotion in a dance with the steps of Holy Week procession and Enrique Ponce spellbound with a useless bull? And I promise I won't do many bullfight passes, but I had to try to understand the religious significance. These bullfight and these Holy Week passes, people carrying the Virgin make little steps like this underneath. And it makes the Virgin move very slightly. It's highly emotionalized the way the Virgin wears. When Enrique is lining up to get his bull, he is doing these little tiny steps up in front. So this is a huge religious, all sorts of things, attack. And what intrigued us about this is, so the crowd demanded it was let live, and the report is a highly sophisticated attack on the bull, on the bullfighter, and the matador from within. So the guy's not criticising the event. And this is what set us thinking. The author claimed, for various reasons, this was not classical bullfighting because, quote, it's a very loose translation. First, this is not a bull. This Juan Pedro, from a particular ranch, Juan Pedro, named Jairiz of 554 kilos, was an animal of the laboratory. It is sweet as syrup. It is religiously blessed and artistic, and it never offered the image of a powerful bull, fierce, wild, and with nobility. Second, this was not bullfighting, because this was this diminished bull ceded his role as a protagonist to the matador and became only a collaborator, an assistant, a theatrical extra. Third, this was not bullfighting because the emotion inherent in the art of bullfighting was substituted by a form of bliss and deranged spirituality. And fourth, with this sort of bull, you don't need heroic bullfighters, you just need artists who transform themselves into mere dancers. But this bull is dangerous to anyone but a skilled matador. If we stood in there, I'll do the betting now, any of us dead 30 seconds, guaranteed. Just lost my page. So what is going on? And this guy is now claiming that this is like a simulacrum of a bullfight, of a true bullfight. So we're trying to work out what these concerns are because they are being expressed. And I'll come back to it. So very, very, very quickly, fighting bulls are bred on in a ranching system, which ultimately is based, so this is the work, sending bulls to the arena to perform and to die. There are some 650 professional bullfights a year. Each of them requires six bulls. So, but this is not an intensive ranching system. Their monetary values are derived from their pedigree. So, a bull like this, performing with that sort of bullfighter, that bull will probably cost £90,000. And so a group of six for that arena probably cost £500,000. So that bull, roughly £90,000. I was checking the price on meat bulls in that city. They go between £300 and £400. Okay. So a key aspect of the work involved here is selection. On the ranch, there's a herd of breeding cows, each of which is mated with a stud bull. The choice of this pairing is the first selection. Which cow with which stud bull, based on the history of her male offspring, have performed. What becomes interesting, and I am skipping, is, there is no way that Spanish fighting bulls are trained. Impossible. What happens is that at 1 year old, female calves, male calves are separated, male calves are left to one side. What happens is the female is put through a mini bullfight. And she picked, she has this, they don't put swords in her. And there's a great deal of skill of the bull breeder to see her reactions. Because if she fails, slaughterhouse. If she passes, into the breeding herd. So this is breeding, in Spanish, criar. Creating the physical form that has potential. So there's very little work with the breeding herd. There are ranch workers, but basically the females are left alone. Turn to the bulls. Look. They're left out in all male groups. They will never be used for breeding, and it's hoped they'll develop in such a way that they can be used as sold to the bullfight. There's very little sense of working with these animals. So in the first picture I think I had, so here for example, this is a normal thing. The guys go around the fields every day, check the bulls are okay. You never get on foot with them, you die. What have I got to? They have pasture, extra food might be given, water. Interestingly, never shelter. Shelter never ever occurs, and I think that Esteban and I are trying to develop that. The person responsible will ride around several times a day, particularly to observe the herd, the way the bulls are reacting, and to stop fights, but with very little intervention in their lives. As I said, what is really, really important here is there is no training in the sense of preparation. Come in, late people. There's no preparation of fighting bulls. Nothing is done to them from the moment they're born. All that happens is they're supplied with what they need to grow into the form of a fighting bull. So they have to develop particular muscle strength, leg strength, and that's important. That preparation is important because after 3 to 5 years of sedentary living in the countryside, when they go into the arena, they're expected to gallop around for about 20 minutes, and it's really, really demanding. One thing some breeders do is they might move their bulls to different pastures every day to make them walk, just to get them. Some actually have little running tracks, and they just sort of chase them around the running track then, just to get some strength in the legs. Right. There's another level of work, working towards the moulding of the bulls in my abstract. So bull breeders attempt to produce bull bodies of a musculature, length of body, shape of head and horns, colour patterns that they desire. It's their aesthetic. That each breeder has a particular aesthetic. And again, these are not coming out very well. But you will get... This, for example, I picked up in Seville. These are the coats and colours of the bullfight. huge range. It's really, really culturally elaborated, all these colours. And I do remember in one bullfight, someone said to me, what colour was the bull? And I said, black. And he said, yeah, but what sort of black? I mean, because there are several names for black. You can't see this, but they take major colours and they subdivide them. So there are about 50 or 60 different colour types. And then you will get books like this produced. These are pictures from here, photographs work. These are by vets and breeders. You know, these are the sorts of books they produce amongst themselves to say, is this a good style of bull, or what's wrong with this style of bull, or this is what we're looking for in these sorts of things. So, incredibly elaborated physical form. Horns are really important, as you imagine. There's about 40, 50 names for types of horn. And then, because it's a book that students can use, veterinary students, they show a picture, and there's all these different sort of things. What is its colour? What is its sub-colour? What is this? What is this? You can have a look at that if you're interested. Sorry. One thing I'll just say as an aside, I was thinking about it this morning, very quick aside. The bull breeder sells his bulls to an impresario. But that's not quite the same as, and that's not the same as the end of the life relationship with a, say, meat bull producer, where what the farmer does is sells the bull through a market, truck comes along, picks it up, and it goes into a system. What we think is really significant with this is that in this system, the main overseer of the ranch always travels with the bulls to the arena. He's there to see that the veterinary inspection's okay, etc., etc. Importantly, he is there in, usually a he, is there in public alongside the bullfighters and has to suffer the whistles and boos if the bull's bad, or if the bull is good, he will take a lap of honour along with the dead bull. Okay. Halfway through. So this is livestock breeding. It's pedigree livestock breeding. But this aspect concerns only the physical animal. Livestock breeders generally, it's a bit, don't pay much attention to anything else. But for the bull breeder, there is something much more complex to work for and to achieve. A quality of appearance, yes. Beautifully shaped bull there on the left. But appearance does not make a fighting bull. What is sought is a character, a quality of character. Character's an inadequate word, and I'll build that up in a moment. A couple of Spanish quotes. Vitorino Martín, famous bull breeder, said, I do not think that one breeds bulls, one creates them. Antonio Miura, I think that's one of his bulls, said, one should breed a bull with the virtues of a fighting bull. And again, as an aside, I noticed yesterday checking something, Vitorino Martín, we'll come back to, won the gold medal of the Spanish government for Bellas Artes for his contribution to Spanish culture. However, this character, the character of the bull, only emerges in the arena. It can't be tested for prior to that. And it's not obvious when you're looking at a bull in the countryside, because there's nothing that's provoking these bulls to do anything. So what they're trying to do is select for a character which is not going to be revealed for at least 3 to 5 years in the future. So what is this character? What's it consist of? And again, I'm being unnuanced. Every breeder, every matador, every aficionado has a different take on what the qualities are that make up a fighting bull. However, I think fundamental of all of this is the term bravura. It's still really difficult to translate. I think the best translation is fierceness, and it's not ferocity, but it's a particular cultural notion of animal fierceness that is related to wildness. In a sense, that's the most easily understood animal quality, although it's related to a particular animal. So, Toro Bravo has fierezza, whereas when I speak to people, they say lions are ferocious. Bulls are not ferocious, they're fierce, but they're not ferocious. So a simple and easily understandable quality. It attacks when it's provoked. But again, this is not a quality that could be seen in the countryside. And going through all these journals, it seems that this fierceness is thought to come from casta y raza. Horribly difficult terms, because the simple translation is caste and race. And I don't think it means that in Spanish. I think it refers to the quality of bloodline of these animals. The next important term is nobleza, which I think can be rendered quite easily as nobility, although one might want to question the notion of animal nobility. And their view is the nobility of the bull is a quality that is thought to temper or activate its fierceness in a modulated way. And they do use the word nobleza modulates the fierceness of the bull. So it should have fierceness, but they're not expecting a bull. It shouldn't be expressed as blind rage or anger. So again, there's some notion that the bull exercises forms of self-control because it's a bull. And I'm not going to go into the bull and the performance in the arena, but put crudely, what's looked for is a bull that pays attention, that attacks cleanly and swiftly at anything that's moved in front of it. And when that thing in front of it is the cape of the matador, it should follow through that cape smoothly without suddenly stopping, twisting around. And it should continue its swift attacks throughout the performance. As I said before, another point, all fighting bulls, Toros de Lidia, are dangerous. That is a given. All have the potential to kill or injure. But a good one is one that does not create excessive difficulties by responding and performing in brusque, rough ways. I'm going to end with a couple of quotations to give you a sense of the material we're dealing with, how breeders think about it. Here's a Cuadri, very famous breeder, again, rough translation. Our selection is to seek a real equilibrium between casta, wildness, and nobility. Of the three, casta, bloodline, is essential as the source of emotion. It is that which provokes the fierceness, which in the end brings about in the bull, after all the initial complications, a highly appreciated mobility and nobility. Casta is the internal struggle of the animal, its fierceness, the form of demonstrating its quality through the form of attack. And its nobility is in its fixity, in its commitment, giving to, its commitment to crudely, it is giving thanks to the matador who has performed well with it. My bulls show commitment as an appreciation for what is done to them in the arena. Cristina Morofiel, female breeder. We have always searched for a very particular type of bull. We don't want one that is particularly smooth or gentle, nor particularly fierce. We want fierceness that's linked with good style. I breed the sort of bull I like, because otherwise there would be no sense in being a bull breeder. We look to produce a true fighting bull, because without such an animal, there is no spectacle and no bullfight. There is a term I really detest, a bull that's easy performed with. When is a bull not performed with? What the bull has to do is attack. And if it attacks well, so much the better. But you need in front of it a valiant bullfighter who's capable of taking control of the situation. We want a fighting bull of history, one that's demanding. But if the matador is capable of standing in front of it, lowering the cape, such a bull will give everything. I do not like a bull that does not transmit emotion. In the bullfight, if there's no emotion, I'd rather go to the cinema. I don't consider my bulls to be tough. A tough one is one that keeps its head up, looking for the body of the matador. Making dangerous, twisting movements It's disorderly. That's a tough bull. That my bulls have power and strength? Sure, yes, but that doesn't mean they're hard. A fighting bull has to transmit emotion. Okay, come again. Going back to that previous comment, one does not breed bulls, one creates them. It's still a puzzle for me in terms of the ways bull breeders express it and what they actually do as creators. Okay, so we go back to selection. They are selecting females for fierceness. They're crossing them in certain ways. They're bred with a particular stud bull, which itself has been selected for fierceness and nobility. And they record how each of the bulls from that coupling performs in the arena, and that feeds back into their selection process. So I think if it's creation, it's creation out of the experience of the behaviour and performance of previous bulls. Having said that, breeders do produce bulls that are recognised as a type from their ranch, their breed, their pedigree. Bulls are bred to be performers. They're not produced as decorative animals for the countryside. And the breeder has to bear this in mind and produce bulls that matadors can perform with. Here we get into really complex cultural politics, which is being worked out. Each matador has his style. Each matador has his idea of how he wants to create a performance. And not all bulls are suitable for that. So not all bulls can be performed with by all matadors, and not all matadors are capable of performing with all breeds of bulls. So in terms of creating, the breeder has no real idea of how his bulls are going to perform in the arena. She or he creates bulls with potential, but these desired qualities of noblesse, fierce, etc., etc., are not there to be demonstrated in the countryside. So they create a latent fighting bull, but it needs a matador to reveal those qualities. And from this comes the rather elliptical idea in the bullfight world that, yes, the matador is the person who brings about the death of the bull by killing it, but prior to this, he is the one who makes it fully alive as a fighting bull. He gives life to this bull. And I can't go into all the complex explanations about what this requires, but it's rather interesting, this idea that the bull can only be revealed by the matador. There is a very nice Spanish refrain which says, when there are bulls, there are no bullfighters. And when there are bullfighters, there are no bulls. To get that magic forming together. So you could send in a bull which has the potential of performing extremely well. You've got a really crap bullfighter who can't understand anything about the bull. And the bull breeder is very disappointed that what appears to be a significant bull is just treated like rubbish. Equally, there can be a brilliant matador there, and he's just the bulls that come out, he just can't do anything with them. So just to end now, so this is an example, to return to the criticism. The criticism here is that not enough attention is being paid to the essential fierce nature of the bull. Modern bulls are degenerating, and the art of bullfighting is degenerating into art, into dance. Sorry, to dancers here. But dance is only a degenerated form of bullfighting. So here the criticism is that the public is more interested in the easy artistry of a bullfighter than the emotion generated by a more difficult struggle to create art with a more demanding and challenging bull. So in modern Spain, among these people, they are rethinking things. The bull should be the protagonist again, and it slipped from that. As one aficionado put it to me, yes, of course there's always danger, but what is often lacking now is the impressiveness of the bull in front of us. So here we have a complex system of producing animals that should have the qualities of wildness and fierceness, but these are not simple animal qualities. They're desired animal qualities in the context of this event. A contest between humans and animals in which how it is to be a particular human person a matador is put at risk and in doubt, but so is what it is to be a bull. And the criticism is that modern bulls should be more difficult, more demanding, and the fear is that there's been an over-culturalising and a diminution of the quality of being an animal through making the bull fit the measure of the man rather than the man standing up to the difficulties of the animal. There is, in a sense, a demand. Looking at Henry, I'm not sure I dare do this on cultural geography. This is a demand for a rewilding of the bull, so that the event becomes more about life and death than about art. I had another page, but I'll stop because I think I was running on. Thank you.
Great, thank you.